We've been looking at this prophetic timetable. Now, I've done 16 weeks of this prophetic timetable, okay? So it's not really likely that I'm going to be able to go over it all, okay? But I do want to just bring things up to date, because where we're going now in terms of what God has been doing, this is a foundation for it. So this prophetic timetable is something God gave me on a trip to heaven one day, and it was about prophetic things that are going to take place. It's not, I'm not putting dates on it, but there are periods of time, and these sort of things here, these periods of time, the first period is a call to intimacy, knowing who we are, our identity, and God's been calling the church since, I would say, in the 80s, really, about that. And that bit that says here, the gathering and removing of stumbling blocks, is where I think we are as a church. And in this period of time, the gathering angels that have been here in this, on our meeting since, I would say, about November last year, are here to see whether we're willing for them to open up our hearts and allow them to remove stumbling blocks from our lives. Stumbling blocks can be idols, it can be things that are hindering the flow of God's kingdom flowing through us. There can also be stumbling blocks that would be removed from the church if we don't respond to that. And in part of that thing is releasing a Joshua generation. And the Joshua generation are a generation of people who will inherit the land and bring another generation with them. Like Joshua and Caleb were the only two people who came from the generation that went from Egypt through the wilderness. And then they brought a whole new generation into the physical land and also the spiritual land, and we looked at a whole load of that stuff. And so that's really where I think we are right now. But I know what God is actually calling us to do is to move forward. And so that stuff about what Alice brought today and is about refining and purifying and coming into the furnace of God's presence. Malachi 3:1 says, "The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? He who can stand when he appears. For he is like a refiner's fire, full of soap. He will sit as a smelter and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi, refine them like gold and silver, so they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness." God wants to prepare us that we may be the offering of the Lord in righteousness. Okay? And anyone who's been near a refiner's fire knows it gets pretty hot, and stuff comes to the surface during that period of time that gets scooped off. And God has been bringing a load of stuff to the surface in people's lives so that he can get rid of it. Purify, refine. When gold is really pure, the surface of the gold is like a mirror. Absolute perfect reflection. And God wants us to be reflected in his presence. Now, during that process, we need to know that God is with us. In Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and the knock." And this is Jesus talking. Jesus is standing inside us because he's in us, and he's knocking and saying, "I want to have lordship of your life. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door," in other words, opens up in our spirit for us to engage with him, "then he will come in and dine with us and we with him." In other words, we will have a relationship of intimacy in which he will reveal things to us and we will talk with him. That's all goes on the inside of us. But Revelation 4:1, which follows on, after these things, after he'd opened the door, "Behold, the door was standing open in heaven. And he said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things.' And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on a throne." So as we surrender our life to God, as we open up our life for the lordship of Jesus in our life, he opens up the door into the heavenly realms for us to engage and come up there. Now, I'm talking about a spiritual experience. Some people physically can be translated, but most of it's a spiritual experience of visions being engaging in the heavenly realms, and there are thrones in the heavenly realms in which we need to engage with. Okay, now, the heavenly realms, there are things in the heavenly realms, and this I want to just bring you up to speed with some of the language that I'm going to be using, because if you don't understand the language, then you'll struggle to understand what I'm talking about. Ezekiel 28:14 says, "You are the anointed cherub," it's talking about Satan, "who covers, and I placed you there. You are on the holy mountain of God." So the throne of God is on the mountain of God in the heavenly realms. And it talks about mountains a lot in the heavenly realms, and they're symbols of authority. So God rules from a throne on the mountain of God in the heavenly realms. Okay. Colossians 1:16, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth." So everything has been created by him, things that are visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, or things were created for, through him and for him. So there's a whole lot of things we can see physically that he's created, and a whole lot of things we can't see physically, but we can see spiritually and experience that he's created. Some of those are called thrones, places of rulership, and we need to understand what those things are. Now, Revelation 5:3 says, "No one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the book." So there's heaven, there's earth, and there's under the earth. Three different realms there that's described. Revelation 5:13, it says, "And every created thing which is in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth, and on the sea, and all things in them." So there are things in the heavens, there are things in the earth, and there are things under the earth, because they're realms of spiritual dimension, if you like. And this is where we've got to not think Greek, 1, 2, 3 layers of things. We think Hebrew, these are dimensions that are right around us. So the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, in those different realms, is as close as my hand is to my face right now, which is really close. Therefore, I can turn into that kingdom at any minute, any second, because it's that close. It is a dimension that's around me of the authority of God, a place that I can step into and step out of. And I should be stepping into it and stepping out of it, because when I go into the heavenly realms, I come out of the heavenly realms bringing what's there into this realm. There's also the kingdom that's in darkness, which is that close to me. And depending on where I turn will be the source that I'm receiving things into my life. And it's important that we understand that we need to turn into the kingdom of heaven to receive things from heaven. Now, Isaiah 2:2, it says, "It will come about that in the last days the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as chief of the mountains." So here another illustration of a mountain, the house of the Lord, which is representative of God's people. So that's talking about that authority of the people of God will be raised up in the world above all the other authorities. So we need to understand again, this is the symbolism. Matthew 6:10, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's what Jesus taught his disciples to pray, because that was his intention. He brought in his personal life the kingdom as in heaven on earth, and he manifested it in all the things he did on earth. So all the miracles, all the power that he demonstrated over nature, all those things were because he was bringing heaven and the authority of God to earth through his life. And he told his disciples to seek the same thing. So if we're going to bring heaven to earth, we have to access heaven to bring it here. Otherwise, how are we going to know what to bring? How are we going to know what it's like in heaven to manifest it on earth unless we go there? And because the door is open, we can step in to the heavenly realms. 1 Corinthians 15:48 says, "As is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy. As is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of the earthly, we will also bear the image of the heavenly." So as we were born in an earthly body, where now we've been born again, and our spirit is now active and alive with God, we also bear the image of the heavenly. So the things that are going on in the heavens, we need to be bearing the image of and outworking here on the earth. Okay? Now, to do that, you have to know what they are. And so God is opening the doors for us to actually know what's going on. Now, There are some things that I will talk about in the heavenly realms and creatures that live in the heavenly realms, in the demonic realm, in the area who rule in the heavenly realms, that we need to understand. Now it says in Genesis 6:4, the Nephilim were giants, and from that race of giants it says they were on the earth in those days and also afterwards. So before the flood and after the flood. Goliath was a giant. He was one of the Nephilim. Okay? Where did those Nephilim come from? Well, when the sons of God, and that's talking about the Ben Elohim, who are a race, a group of angels, 200 of them left their heavenly estate and fell. They came to the daughters of men and bore children to them. There was an overshadowing in terms of a genetic thing which happened, and there were then mighty men who were old and of renown, giants. They were on the earth in those days, okay? When they died in the flood, they weren't human as we are, because they were genetically mixed. Their spirits went back into the realms. That's why there are giants in the heavenly realms, okay? There are spiritual things that the Bible describes as giants. Isaiah 27 says, in that day the Lord will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, with his fierce and great mighty sword. Even Leviathan, the twisted serpent, he will kill the dragon who lives in the sea. So there's mention of things like dragons. Now, there's all sorts of TV things about dragons and things going on at the minute. Revelation 12:9 says, the great dragon who was thrown down, the serpent of old, who was called the devil and Satan, deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. A third of the angels of heaven fell with Satan and were deceived with the same deception, and they were called dragons. Okay? Now, therefore, there are dragons that also rule in the heavenly realms. And I just want to give you the fact that I'm not totally mad when I talk about giants and dragons and having met them and dealt with them. They're in the Bible. We just need to understand how they now work. Now, the Joshua generation, this generation I believe God is raising up now to come into their full inheritance as sons and to get the full inheritance here on earth and in heaven, both realms, will be a people of a different spirit. Caleb and Joshua had a different spirit, it says, and they will possess the promised land and bring others to possess it. Now in Zechariah 3:6, this is a scripture which was talking about Joshua the high priest, who was in the heavenly realms. Okay? This is not the earthly temple. He was in the temple in heaven. And it says, the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the angel armies. And whenever the Lord of hosts is mentioned, you need to think of that. The angel armies. And there's a whole host of them. And he said this, if you walk in my ways, and the ways of God are his character, knowing him intimately, not just knowing what he does, but knowing him. And if you will perform my laws, and it's talking about the 12 laws of the kingdom, the principles of operating in the kingdom of God, then you will govern my house. And also have charge of my courts, and I will grant you free access among those who are standing here. Where was he standing? In the presence of God, before the throne of God. So there's three areas in the heavenly realms that are available to us when we start to outwork the things that God wants here. There's the place where you can govern the house of God in terms of governing what goes on within the church and the sphere of operation of the church. Have charge of the courts of God, and there are 9 different courts of God in the heavenly realms which we have access to actually do legal things there. And have access to the throne of God. So there's 3 places there that comes about. Now, in the past, we've talked about the first heaven, natural realm, second heaven, angelic realm, third heaven, Greek God's realm. That's very, very simplified version, all right? It was just spoken in those terms to give us a basic understanding that there's this realm in which we live, there's other realms around us where the angels are occupying, and there's the throne of heaven. Now, I want to go into a lot deeper into the realms of heaven, because there's a whole load more. So looking at the realms of heaven, there we've got the kingdom of earth, which is where we experience the presence of God today. When we come to worship in our own lives, we can experience God's presence because he's in us. So wherever we are, He is, and we need to have that presence of God. There's the atmosphere of the earth around us, and it says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. This is the atmosphere of the earth. That atmosphere has three realms or spheres of government within it: rulers, powers, and principalities. The rulers are territorial spirits that operate between heaven and earth to block the revelation and the flow of glory that comes from heaven. Then into the heavenly realms, there's the place where it's the kingdom of God. That's where God's government takes place. That's a realm within the realm of heaven. That's also open to the demonic realm. Then there's the kingdom of heaven, where God's domain is, where the courts are. That's also open and has access from the enemy. Several times in the Bible it talks about the enemy coming as an accuser of the brethren before the courts, and those courts are in that realm in heaven. And then there's heaven, God's abode. The enemy's got no access there, but we have access there, because it says we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. So there's places of authority in each of those realms: kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, and heaven, that we are seated in. Or there's a place where we can occupy a place of authority. Okay, so I just want to expand this so you get an understanding of the depth of it. Above that, there are other realms right back into eternity. Now, under the earth, there's also three layers. So there's three layers into the earth, there's three layers into the heavens, which makes six, and the seventh layer is the atmosphere of the earth, where the battle goes on. The place under the earth was created by God, but when the angels fell, the angels have occupied that layer. So there's Sheol, the place of the dead. There's a place there called Tartarus, where those 200 angels that fell are chained up. Now, I'm only sharing some of these things because I've actually seen them and been there. I've refused to share things that I haven't actually seen or done or been. So I've seen some of these places so I can share them with you. And those realms that are there, and we're supposed to take them back, okay? They're not supposed to be the enemy's control. They're supposed to come back to us. And the trophy room of Satan's there, which is a whole load of mandates that we should have, a whole load of things that have been robbed from our generation and our families, which we can go and get back, and we will at one day. There are other realms in the heavenlies where I've seen some things there. I'm not going to go into that today. Okay, now, so there's 7 days of creation, and there's 7 systems of government in the kingdom of God. The first system of government works within us. Our lives, body, soul, spirit, bringing us back into the order that was created with Adam before he fell. His spirit rules his soul and his body with an outworking of what his spirit ruled. God is bringing that back into order today, so that our spirit, connected with the Holy Spirit who lives in us, the Father and Son who lives in us, to rule. Our soul generally has been the thing that's ruled, and that's got us into big trouble. That's the refining, purifying process that's going on, is dealing with the soul. Dealing where the soul dominates and controls our lives. Our mind, our emotions, our will, all those things. There's 7 different layers there. Get the CD, as Ian Clayton would say, because I can't go over it all again. But these are areas and arenas of government, and there's 7 kingdom earth realms, 3 into the heavens, 3 into the earth, 7th atmosphere, which has those realms that we need to deal with. Now, I want to now actually explain how this works for us as a church, because it's really important that we get a handle of this and understand it. Ephesians 3:9 says, to bring to light that which is the administration of the mystery for ages has been hidden in God who created all things. So that the manifold wisdom of God, now the manifold means multicolored and multifaceted. There is so much more to God than we can even imagine or think. It's like God is infinite and eternal. And there's so much in terms of that God is revealing today, which has not been revealed before. Because he's opening the realms of heaven so that people can see. So that manifold wisdom of God is to be made known through the church, through us, to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So all those places that I talked about, those heavenly places, We are supposed to bring the manifold wisdom and authority of God. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. This was always his intention. Adam was always to have access to the heavenly realms. Before he fell, he could have gone up into any of those realms where the tree of life into eternity, if he hadn't chosen a different path. But they chose a different path, and they surrendered the authority of the realms of earth and heaven to the enemy. Okay? Which we need to get back. Now, linking this picture now with the Zechariah scripture, there are mountains of God, and the throne of God is in the heavenly realms, in heaven. There are mountains and thrones in the kingdom of heaven realm. There are mountains and thrones in the kingdom of God realm. And there are everlasting doors which are between our atmosphere and the heavenly realms. And I'll explain what those things are. So in the kingdom of God, that is where we rule the house of God as lords. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So who are going to be the lords? Us. Who are going to be the kings? Us. Who are going to be sons? Us. Okay? So that's where that comes. Judging the courts of heaven as kings comes in the kingdom of God domain. And then having access to stand as sons before the throne of God comes in the realm of heaven. Okay. Now, remember 1 Corinthians 15, 49, just as we've borne the image of the earth, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. It's always God's intention that we would live in dual realms, that we'd have access to the realm here and the realm there. Now, that 2.5-3 years ago, God gave me 4 words. And at the time, I didn't know what they meant, and I didn't understand how they were to work, but I knew they were really important, so I treasured them in my heart, and I've meditated on them, and I've looked into them over a period of time. 4 words, investiture, enthronement, succession, and coronation. Now, I now understand that this is to do with the role of authority that we have as individual believers in the realms of the heaven manifesting it here on earth. And therefore there needs to be an investiture in which, like Prince Charles was invested in Carnarvon Castle, I can remember watching it as a kid on TV, and he was given sort of new robes, he was given a crown, he was given different things to hold in his hands, symbolizing him that he was going to be the coming king. So he was then Prince Charles, and I think he was whatever it is, a Prince of Wales. So he was invested with the authority. The Prince of Wales is the person who's going to become the king. And he has not had an enthronement yet, because the Queen still lives. But in for us, there is the opportunity to have an enthronement onto the place of authority that God has called us to live out in our Christian life, in the realm here and the realm there. And over a period of time, God has shown me more and more what these things mean. And you've probably seen that over a period of time, we've used prophetic things here, like a sword, a mantle, different things that we've done in terms of praying for people, ministering to people, bringing people into a place where they can inherit their inheritance as children of God. Now, as a church, we have mountains of authority, okay? Now, there are 7 mountains of authority that we have as a church that we've been mandated and given a call of God to occupy. I've only seen 5 of those mountains. I saw 5 of those mountains in the kingdom of God realm in heaven. God took me there and showed me these mountains and showed me thrones that were on these mountains. This was a year ago when I was on the fast. And I had a real clear understanding of what those mountains were. And since that time, I've been sort of, okay, well, what do we do with this? Now, when Ian Clayton came, he came and visited here in the spirit realm and saw what was going on here before he came. And when he came, he talked to me about, he says, have you seen your mountains? And I said, well, yeah, I've seen 5 mountains. He said, I've seen 5 mountains. I've seen the 5 mountains, I've seen the 5 thrones. You have scrolls associated with those mountains, which are mandates from God. And I said, yeah, I know. And he said, but you do know there's a whole load of scrolls behind each of those mountains which are backing up. He says, there are other people and other people's ministries which are going to be released. So I said, well, no, I hadn't seen that. So I said, okay, but I'll receive it. So these thrones are in the realm of the kingdom of God in the heavenly realms. They have thrones on the mountains. Okay? Thrones are places where you rule from. They have scrolls, each associated with what those mountains are about. The first mountain is the mountain of the church, the general thing that we do about life transformation. We have a scroll to transform lives, to transform our community, and we are looking to outwork that in what we do here. The second mountain is a mountain of health. Third one, a mountain of freedom. Fourth, a mountain of harmony and rest. And the fifth, blessing and prosperity. Now, I haven't got time to go into all what that fully means, but those are the titles of the scrolls, and we need to start occupying it. Now, on each of those four mountains I saw in the heavenly realms, there were giants, spiritual creatures who were blocking and sitting on our thrones. And I wasn't very pleased with that when I saw that, as you can imagine. But for a year, nearly a year, I've been contending, because it's like I didn't see the other throne, because I was actually sat on it. In other words, some of what the mandate God's given me in terms of apostolic ministry here has been a situation where you rule. Now, when Jesus talked about rule, as you can look at this and think, well, this is a bit, isn't it, a bit arrogant that we sort of were all ruling like this. Jesus called us to rule, but he basically says the kingdom is in reverse. The first will be last and the last will be first. And what he was saying is that we don't rule and lord it over people like the world does. Any rulership that we have is to support and encourage people into who they are. So we rule over the enemy, but actually we don't rule over each other. We're operating our gifts and operating in the mandate God's given us so that we encourage and support others to come into the fullness of God's kingdom for them. So there were things occupying these things. Now, as I recognized my place and what I was doing and how to operate in that lordship, when Ian Clayton was here, I talked to him about what do I do, what do we do in occupying and getting rid of those giants. So we had a good dialogue, as we did over quite a few things, and basically he just sort of told me, look, you just need to go there. You have authority. God's mandated you the authority. You can go and rule. But I know that I'm not supposed to actually rule on those thrones. They're for other people. You know, there are ministries and calls and mandates and destinies to rule, and there are more than one people who are going to rule on those thrones in the church. Okay? But for people to come into it, we have to get rid of the giants. So literally one by one, I went into the heavenly realms, onto those things, and I actually battled those giants. Now, this sounds all like science fiction or Lord of the Rings. Well, actually, it's very much like Lord of the Rings, because that's where Tolkien got those sort of things from heavenly revelation. And literally, there are giant creatures that when you go in the spirit, the weapons that God's given you, you can deal with them. You have to chop their heads off, like David did with Goliath, didn't he? Chopped his head off and presented it as the thing. And then what happened? All the Philistines that were under that giant had to give up all their spoils in the natural realm. So Israel took over the Philistine spoils. Same thing in Egypt. Egypt had to give up all their spoils to the children of Israel. So when you chop off a giant, you split its belly open and comes out all the things that it's been holding back. The scrolls, the resources to actually operate in these realms. So over the past month, 3 weeks I suppose, I've gone to each of those mountains and each of those thrones and actually dealt with each giant. And actually it wasn't difficult, but actually I was really struggling when I came out of it. I physically started to feel like, phew, this is really heavy, even though it didn't seem that difficult to go and deal with it at the time. But there is a physical spiritual dimension that comes together. So basically those giants are gone. And I'm, if you like, caretaker of some of those things to bring health and to see the open heaven over us as a church to manifest those things. But I need to raise up others, because we need lords who are going to raise up others to be enthroned on those areas. And I know some of you in this room are called to do that, and I really need to start helping you do that, because it's like the last few weeks I've felt a real strain, because the more of these places I've gone to, And the more places I keep going back to have to operate in these areas, the more I found it difficult to actually maintain it all. So I know it's really important that we get other people in these areas. So this operates in the Kingdom of God area. Now for us as a church, there are each one of you has got a throne in the heavenly realms, okay? Because you're called to be seated in the heavenly realms. Some of those thrones are related to those mountains. You all have seven of your own thrones, okay? That you are a sphere of kingdom authority that you're supposed to live out of in the world. That might be associated with different things. So that might be a family authority area where you need to rule in the area of your family. It could be the marketplace, it could be gifts that God's given you that you need to rule in. Ministry, church, calling, other things. Each person has seven spheres of kingdom authority that you're supposed to operate from the heavenly realms. So you have to go there. You have to sit on the thrones, on the mountains, and you have to start ruling. That's what the kingdom was about. Bringing the rule of God from heaven to earth. And yes, as a church we have these mountains, but every single person has these mountains in their own lives. Authority and calls of God upon you so that you can bring God's kingdom from heaven to earth. Now it sounds all a bit out there, but actually the reality is it's got to be outworked here. Jesus brought heaven to earth. He brought healing. He brought deliverance. He brought salvation. He brought transformation to lives. He brought miracles and signs and wonders from heaven to earth. Because he operated in both those realms. Every single person needs to start operating in the fullness of the authority of God's kingdom in your lives. To do that, you need to access the heavenly realms to do it. Now, as a church, we also have a higher level of authority, as every church does, in the kingdom of the realm of heaven, where those courts are. For us, that's an apostolic resource center where healing will become signs and wonders and miracles. Freedom will become jubilee, which is a cancellation of all debts. The whole thing of peace and wholeness, bringing people into destinies, and a whole wealth transfer, what we've talked about, is part of our mandate. Now, for that to take place, there are dragons that are occupying those places in the heavenly realms. And it's like dragons are another higher level of authority. There was a dragon on the church realm that I've gone and dealt with. I'm not going to deal with any other realms until we've got people who are lords in that area, because I can't do it on my own. I feel quite lonely at sometimes in the heavenly realms. I've actually started to see some people who are up there who are operating, some other guys who are on thrones and mountains in the heavenly realms. But I want more of you there. I want all of you there, occupying the places of authority that God's given you. So we need to raise up kings who are going to rule and bring us as a church into the fullness of God's kingdom as kings of kings. Now, I just want to explain how this works. This is the earthly sphere. This is the atmosphere of the earth. And those things that are occupying that atmosphere are rulers, principalities, powers, territorial spirits. It's the heavenly realms. Now, the thrones that we have in the heavenly realms of the church, the five that I've seen and the five other ones are in that realms there. Now, we need to go from the earthly sphere into the heavenly sphere. So we then bring back from the heavenly sphere what's there into this sphere. Now, between the two, there's something called everlasting doors. They are portals or openings that were open when Adam was first created for God's glory to come and manifest on the earth, as it did, because Adam was clothed with glory and honor before he fell. Now those doors are now guarded or blocked by those territorial spirits in the atmosphere of the earth. Now as we bring kingdom of heaven to earth, through this rulership, the principalities and powers start to get shifted out. And as we do that, we then start to occupy a greater sphere of authority and power that enables us for all of you to start occupying the different areas that need to be occupied. But for that to take place, we need to deal with the heavenly doors. Now, Psalm 24, verse 7 is where this comes from, in the heavenly realms. Lift up you heads, O you gates. We sing this song about the King of Glory coming in. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors. This is the doors that it's talking about. That the King of Glory shall come in. The glory of God, who's the King of Glory, will come through those doors from the heavenly realms into this realm, bringing the glory of God. We would call it revival, we would call it transformation, awakenings, all sorts of manifestations of the power of God and the presence of God through the angelic that come through those doors. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. So as soon as we start lifting up your heads, you gates, now each one of you is the gate. Because you're the gateway of heaven. The presence of God is in you. You become a gate from heaven and earth. Talking about lifting up your head. To lift up your head, the head, think Greek, not Greek, Hebrew. Hebrew says the head is the place of authority and rule. Greek would say it's the thing that's on the top of your shoulders, on your neck. Because Greek thinks function, Hebrews the form, Hebrews function. So the function of the head is to rule. To lift it up is to lift it up to a higher level. Once we start to lift up our government to a higher level, then the lifting up of the everlasting doors starts to take place and the glory of God is starting to be manifested. Now in verse 9 it then says, lift up your heads, O you gates. Then it says something different, notice. Because once you've been lifted up to a realm in the heavenlies, what happens is God comes and stands in the gateway. Once the gateway's open, God comes and stands in the gateway. And I'll show you that from scripture in a minute. It says, even lift them up, you everlasting doors. So when God comes and stands in the everlasting door, that whole realm lifts up the gates to a higher level. Because it's the everlasting doors and God who is standing in there that enables things to go to an even higher level of authority in the kingdom of God. Even lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts. Now you've got a name. Before, you had what he did. Now you have a name. Do you understand the name of the Lord of Hosts? The Lord of the angel armies. Because once you start accessing the courts in the heavenly realms, I know I'm putting this out there and some of you have not done 14 weeks of stuff, but get the CD and listen to it if you need to. But this is what God is starting to do in our midst. The Lord of Hosts, the Lord of the angel armies, is actually releasing the angelic to operate amongst us. And more of you are starting to see it and experience it and know what's going on in these realms. He's the King of Glory. So the King of Glory is going to manifest through the angelic in these ways. This is where this scripture's come from. Genesis 28:12, which is talking about Jacob. Now I met Jacob in the heavenly realms a couple of weeks ago. And the first time I'd ever met one of the cloud of witnesses. There were men in white linen who were there to help us from past generations. And Jacob told me about this and told me to study this and to understand how this works. So I thought, well, I need to do that. So I've been looking at his life and talking to him about it. He had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth. So this ladder was set here, not in heaven, here. But behold, its top reached into heaven. So we have access here to reach into heaven. Behold, angels of God were ascending, so they were already here, and they were going up, and they were coming back down, coming with revelation, bringing the kingdom and the revelation of the glory of God. And behold, the Lord stood above it. He was standing in at the top of the ladder, and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go. This is the promise of the King of Glory starting to manifest his presence. Genesis 28:17, Jacob was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Now, each of us as an individual is now a house of God, because God dwells in us. We're also a gate of heaven. So we have to be lifted up as a gate into the heavenly realms to manifest the glory of God. Genesis 35, 1, God then said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, which is what he called the house of God, hence why Bethel Church is called Bethel Church, and other Bethel Church are called that, because they're saying we're the house of God. He told him to go and live there. So we have to live in the place where we're the house of God and we're the manifestation of the gate of heaven. Make an altar there, place of sacrifice. Jacob said, put away the idols which are among you, purify yourselves and change your garments. This is what's going on right now. There's a purifying, there's a removing of idols, and there's a change of garments that's taking place, which is not necessarily a very easy process. Now, bring this back to Jesus, John 1:57. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. This happened in Jesus' ministry. This is why he was able to do what he did. John 3:13, Jesus talking to Nicodemus. No one has ascended to heaven, but he who has come down from heaven. Again, talking about himself. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Present, continuous tense. He's already in heaven. That's where he is. That's where he's occupied. He was there then, he's there now. We can also be in that realm of heaven and earth now. Living in dual realms of authority, outworking the heavens on earth now. John 12:26, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. Where I am, there my servant will be also. Because Jesus is in the heavens, we can be in the heavens. And that's where we occupy and come from. John 14:20, in that day you will know that I'm in my Father, you're in me, and I'm in you. That's the relationship that makes us the house of God. Verse 23, we will come and make our home, literally our dwelling place, within. The kingdom of God, Luke 17:21, is within us. Therefore we are a habitation of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are connected to God and a gate of God's glory. That's how we have to outwork this stuff. Now, I've got a load of other stuff I can share on this, but I'll finish it there. The key to understanding this, and I think for all of you who think, where's my head? I don't know where I am right now. That's okay. But the reality is, you need to know that you are a dwelling place of God here on earth, and the door of heaven is open for you to access the heavenly realms and to experience that and bring those heavenly realms back from there to here. That's what Jesus did. That's why we can do the works that he's called us to do in the same way he did it. But we need to access the heavenly realms and we need to start ruling on our own thrones. There's thrones within the church that we need to occupy, and we need to manifest the kingdom of God. Right now we have an everlasting door which is open. One door which is open over us as a church, and it is manifesting as the glory of God. We have four other thrones and two others that I'm even seeing, which are not fully open, but actually, because sometimes in our worship and sometimes what we do with the flags and other things, there are like flashes of the glory of God that come down through those realms. We have to have all those doors open to have continual revival, which will not stop. Continual manifestations of the glory of God for healing, for health, for deliverance, for mandating us to come into a fullness of our destiny in the whole realms. To do that, everyone needs to be involved. It's not one or two people. I can't do it on my own. I can't do it with a few people. The whole church needs to be involved in these things, because God is calling all of us to do the works that Jesus did. All of us. Not just a few special people. Every single one of us has been called and mandated with an authority to bring heaven to earth. God is calling you individually to take your realm of authority in your life, on the inside and in the heavenly realms, and to start occupying God's kingdom and bringing it here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Now, don't go away thinking, oh, I'll never get any of that. Start operating with God on the inside, in the garden that you've got on the inside. Door will start opening up into the heavenly realms, and you will start to experience more and more, because it is God's intention that will do this. So it's for every single person of you, and particularly when I sort of come back from holiday, you know, I really want to start working with some of you to help you get into these places, because we've really got to start occupying these things quickly from what God's actually doing with us and amongst us here, because time's speeding up. There's an acceleration of time taking place, where things that would take years are taking months. Things that take months can take weeks, things that take weeks, days. Because God suddenly comes and starts doing something different. Okay, let's just pray. Father, I just pray right now for all the frazzled minds that are out there, that you by your Spirit would, from their spirit, bring revelation knowledge of the truth of each person's identity as a son of God, as a Lord, as a King, and as a son, the full realm of authority that each person has here to manifest the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, through their lives, to be a manifestation of the works of Jesus here on earth. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you, Lord God, for in these days what you're doing, for the exciting times we're living in, for the times where your kingdom is going to come and manifest on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, I just pray that you would call and choose and invest each of the people here with the authority that they have in that realm to occupy those thrones, that they will be enthroned and they will start ruling and manifest in your kingdom through their lives. Just pray, let the spirit of wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of God open the eyes of our hearts, that we can start to see and experience the fullness of our inheritance in earth and in the heavens. Just pray. Dreams, visions, revelations will be released. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The liberty to come into the freedom of the revelation of God. That we can step into your kingdom and step out of your kingdom by faith every second, every day. I just pray you'd stir us and draw us to that place where we can fully be the manifested sons of God on earth. Just pray, Holy Spirit, you'll do that in our lives. Draw us into intimacy, remove the stumbling blocks, and let us be lifted up as the gates of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.